So here we are. Kind of communion goes along kind of with this message here this morning too, I believe. It's always difficult in the new year because we've come off the Christmas high. I don't know if it's a sugar rush or just all the food that we've ingested and all the energy that we have, but I know for me, coming off of Christmas time, it's always hard at the beginning of the new year to figure out exactly where to go and what to start to do, because just coming off the high of Christmas, proclaiming the good news of Jesus and his birth, it's hard to figure out what to do and where to go. I've been struggling with it actually for 2 weeks on exactly what to preach, and I really wasn't able to decide until last night where I was going and what I was going to try to go for the next couple weeks. But there's an area in the Gospel of Matthew, of the parables of Jesus, in which Jesus says these words several different times. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like." He says it several different times. The kingdom of heaven is like. And I think that's a really important thing for us to understand, because so many times if we think Christianity is just about what we're doing here on earth, the changes it makes in our lives right here, right now, we're missing the big picture of why we're here and what we're doing and why Christ died on the cross. Because Christ did not die on the cross so that we could have this incredible life here, right now. Do you realize that? It's part of that. He came to change our lives and to give us new life here, but not just new life here. He's given us new life in the kingdom to come, the kingdom of heaven. That's what this is really all about. And so many times I think we lose focus on what the kingdom of heaven is really like. In order to do that, I feel like I had to back up a little bit into the Gospel of Matthew, into just chapter 13. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn there with me, we're going to start with the first parable that Jesus brings in this series of parables about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13. And this is a very familiar parable. We've heard it over and over again, but be very careful when you hear something over and over again that you're not just skipping over what Christ is saying, because so many times things become so familiar that we turn off our ears. As soon as we hear what the parable is and where we're going, it's like, I've heard this one. I know exactly what we're talking about and where it's going, and I don't need to hear it anymore. But be careful, because I think that's one of the symptoms and one of the problems that's discussed in this very parable. Too familiar. Ground trodden over too many different times. Listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 13. It says that same day, and the same day means that when Jesus' mom and his brothers came and tried to take him outside, and he says, "You know what? My brothers and sisters are those, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brothers and my sisters and my mother." Okay? It says that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. I like this. He's an outdoor guy. I just love Jesus. Not just because of what he did on the cross, not because of his teachings, but I like him because he's just a regular guy. I kind of like him because I can relate to him, because how many of you have been in the house way too much here lately? We've had breaks, been in the house way too much, and Jesus was the same. I think he was the same type of guy as a lot of us. We're in the house too much, and he just has to get out of the house. He gets out of the house, and he just goes to the lake. Just goes to the lake, and he sits down by the lake. But he doesn't get any peace, not peace, but he doesn't get any relief, I guess, from all the people, because the crowds follow him out to the lake. And he sat down by the lake, and it says such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat. I'm liking them even more. And he sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, and here's the first parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some of the seed fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, they withered because they had no root. The other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. The disciples came to him, it says afterwards, and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, The knowledge of the secret things of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Some of you are glassing over on me. Listen to what it says, because this is exactly the problem that's going on in our world and in our society right now. And Jesus knows it, because we hear it over and over again. We've heard it so many times, it becomes so familiar. And all of a sudden, we start hearing, but we don't listen. We start seeing, but we don't see. Listen, and he even says it right here in the midst of it. He says, look, though you've seen, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Something real important is going on here, guys. Listen to me real quick. It hasn't changed. It's still going on right now. People and Christians and even people within our room right now, they're hearing, they hear words, but they're not perceiving what it's saying. They're not understanding the meaning of what's going on. They see things going on. They see what needs to happen. They see the changes that need to happen, but they're not really internalizing it. They're not really taking it in. They see it, but they don't recognize it. Or if they recognize it, they recognize it in someone else and not themselves. You know, the hardest view to look at is in the mirror. The hardest one to see the flaws in is in yourself, truly and honestly. And once you see the flaws, actually trying to do something about it is one of the most difficult things to do. I like New Year's. I like New Year's. I do, because this is like a fresh start, a new beginning. We have this brand new year. I don't know how it's any different than the day before, but all of a sudden we've got a brand new year. And all of a sudden we have this opportunity to look back on the old and start looking towards the new and making decisions on how I'm going to change, or what things need to come to fruit in my life, or where do I need to make a change, or these resolutions and all these different. I don't want you to make a resolution. I want you to look honestly with wise eyes wide open. I want you to hear with ears to hear the Word of God and see where He's leading you. That's what communion was about. See the things that I've done in the past and turn away, repent, and turn back to Him. You see, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, it's so amazing. Do you remember what he said the very first place that the seed was planted? He says the sower scatters it out, and the first set of seeds, so it falls on a path, right? It falls on the road. What makes a road? Huh? What makes a road? I mean, is the road, especially in Jesus' days, not the paved roads that we have right now, is the roads that they are walking on, is it any different soil than what the soil is right next to it? I mean, is it any different? It's the same soil, isn't it? It's the exact same stuff. It's made out of the same things. But what makes the road, and the soil over here, the soil? What makes it the road? Compaction. What makes compaction? How does the road get compacted? By traveling over it, by people walking on it, by tires running over it, by things going over and over and over again. And as soon as you allow it to get compacted, it becomes hard, doesn't it? It's the same thing with the Word of God. Sometimes we hear the Word of God over and over, just like this parable. We've heard it how many different times? But if we don't let it penetrate, if we don't let it stir up who we are as people, it just gets harder and harder. If there's no action taken by the words, if we don't actually hear, if we don't actually see what's going on, if we don't actually let it impact the soil, it just gets beat over and over and over. So many times I think that's what happens with a lot of Christians. We know what's right. We hear what's right, don't we? It's not like it's a mystery what God is calling us to do. It's not like a mystery that we don't know. Oh, man, I just don't know how He wants me to live. I don't know what He wants me to have as my priority in my life. Gee, what does God want me to have as a priority in my life? I just don't know. Does anybody know the answer? What does God want as a priority in our life? Do you know? What?
God.
Really? Are you kidding me?
God wants us to have as a priority in our life. God, how old are you?
Nine.
Nine. That's not no. That's nine. 9 years old. Ever hearing, but not understanding. Ever seeing, but not knowing. We know, don't we? And we've heard it how many times? We've heard it at least one more time today. So we just traveled over that road one more time. So are we just going to keep hearing it and keep traveling over the road and compacting it? Or are we going to let it make a difference in our lives? Because if we don't let it make a difference in our lives, if we don't allow it to turn up that same soil that's right next door, it's just going to become a path, and it's going to become hardened. And guess what? When it becomes hardened, the seed that God's wanting to sow on our life, and the seed is all the different things that he wants to bring into our lives, all the different things he wants to bring fruit into our lives. If we don't allow it to be turned up and allow that seed to penetrate in, if we just hear it, oh, yeah, he wants to be a priority in our life. Well, I know that one. Walked on that path again. And it just becomes hard, but we don't do anything about it. The seed that he wants to plant on that soil, that truth, is just going to lay there. And you know what it says about it? Jesus tells you pretty quick. He says, you know what happens to that seed? He says the devil comes along and he plucks it off there. The truth that he wants to penetrate into your heart, the truth and the blessings and the fruit that he wants to produce in your life, Satan just comes and takes it off, because we know that God wants us to have him as our priority, but we just keep plowing that path and doing nothing about it. And the seed just falls there. And Satan comes and plucks it away. And when he plucks that seed away, you know what he's taken away from you? Honestly, you know what he's taken away? If we don't know that God is a priority of our life, if we aren't living in that way, he's going to take the fruit of other areas of our life away. The blessings that God is wanting to shower into. He's wanting to sow blessings into our lives. But if those blessings fall on that hard soil, if God is no longer the priority of our life, we know it in our head, but we're not allowing it to happen in our lives, those blessings are stolen. They're taken away. We'll never know what they are. We'll never know what God wanted to do, intended for my life, because we have not allowed him to become the true priority, the true Lord of our life. We haven't made the changes necessary for him to be that Lord, to be that priority. Okay, you've heard it again. I hope I haven't just gone and made the road even harder. I hope you didn't just listen to the words. Let it penetrate. Let it stir things up in your life. Allow it to make it a fertile soil that the seed can penetrate in. He goes on, he says, you know what? Some of the seed, it falls on the rocky soil. The rocky soil. And you know what? That soil, the rocky soil, is the same soil that's the good soil. There's no difference in the soil. You realize that, right? It's the same stuff. The only problem with the rocky soil is it's really thin. It's not very thick. There's not a good bed of soil for it to grow in. You see, there's rock hard that can't be penetrated, and then there's this little thin layer of soil that's growing, that's right there. And the seed falls on that, and it can only penetrate down so far, and then it hits that rock, and the roots can't go any further. What does that mean? I've always kind of wondered about that. What makes soil good, fertile soil? Is it just the thickness of it? Or what makes it thick, and what? Why is something thin? Let's say that we are that soil, because guess what? We are the soil in the parable. Jesus is the sower. We're the soil. So what makes some soil very thin? Okay? Let's say that we're the soil. What are we made of? And I don't mean, you know, we got water and minerals and stuff like that. What are we made of? What is our soul? What makes us who we are? Remember the teaching, we have this idea that we are flesh. We've got a body. We've got a soul. And then we've got a spirit. Okay? The internal part of that is our soul. What is our soul made up of? It's made up of our mind, our thoughts, all right? Our feelings, what we feel, and our actions, our will, what we want to do, okay? So let's say that's our soil, our thoughts, our actions, and our feelings. Now let's say that's our soil, our thoughts, our actions, and our feelings. Let's say that God sows a seed on the thin soil, and we're trying to figure out what the thin soil is. Let's say he sows it on our feelings, and that's all we've got about Jesus. That's all we got. We just got feelings. That's our soil, okay? And we just feel everything. Oh, Jesus is so wonderful. He makes me feel so good. I feel so safe. I feel so assured. I feel. And guess what? There's a lot of people that are living on the feeling of Jesus. Is that a bad thing? No, but it's not all of it. Because as soon as your feelings come in contact with contrary feelings or with hurt or with pain, and guess what? In Jesus, there is going to be hurt, there is going to be pain, there's going to be disappointment, there are going to be things that happen in your life that are going to make you not feel so wonderful, so good. Your health can deteriorate, and all of a sudden the feeling can disappear in Jesus. And guess what? When the feeling disappears, if that's what your soil is made of, guess what? It's going to stop growing. Same thing with other people. Some people don't have a feeling relationship with God. They just disperse that part, and they just have a knowledge of God. And they have all this knowledge, and that's their soil. They know about Jesus. They thought about Jesus. They've done all the study. They've done all this. They've got the book knowledge. They've got all this understanding and this incredible, vast knowledge of Jesus. How's that working? You see, I can have all the knowledge of Jesus, and if I don't have any of the feeling, the relationship, I'm awfully shallow because I can't relate. The other part of that is the action, my will, my desire, my doing things. If all I'm doing is, if my soil is just my actions, what I'm doing, I get burnt out really quick. You see, if my actions are just based on me doing, it becomes not about Christ. It becomes about me doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm serving here. I'm serving there. I'm doing all these different things. Guess what? That's a shallow soil that will burn you out, that will frustrate you because you'll start looking around and say, well, Ryan, you're not doing as much as I am. But I'm not doing as much as Diane, so you know I gotta work a little bit. And we start comparing and we start basing our relationship on what we're doing. And guess what? That's not going to last either. You see, the soil is deep. The soil that is fertile has all three aspects of it. It has a feeling relationship. It has a commonality with Jesus. You can share with him. You can talk with him. You have a relationship that is based in feeling, but you also have a knowledge of who he is, knowing that your feelings cannot be the basis of your entire relationship with God. You have to have an understanding. A true understanding of who he is. And not only do you have to have feeling and understanding, but you have to have action. Those feelings and that understanding has to implore you, has to inspire you to act and to move. Without one of the three, you're shallow. And what happens is, as soon as the scorching heat of the world comes in, whether it's to your knowledge or to your feelings or to your actions, all of a sudden you start to wither. You see, the soil that is good, that's going to grow, has all three. A relationship that is fully rounded in Christ, that is based on the knowledge and the understanding and the feeling and the inspiration that comes through that Holy Spirit. And not only that inspiration, but the willingness to act and step out in faith. Are you hearing me? You see, I think it's getting sad in our Christian world today because there's not much fruit that's being produced. We need to be more well-rounded and based in the truth of his word. The third soil that he talks about is very simply, and this is a hard one for me to talk about because we're all infected. Every one of us. The third soil that he talks about, he says it falls in good soil. But not only is that soil good for growing of the plant, the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also great for growing weeds. And we're in that soil like you never knew. Right now, the cares of the world, the things of this world are growing up right alongside of our faith, and it's choking our faith out. And I'm seeing it in the church, and I'm not just saying our church, but it's happening here too. We're letting other concerns, other things of the world choke out our relationship with God. The priority, what is our priority? I lost him already. What is our priority? Hey, the preacher's talking to you. What is our priority? Absolutely. See how easily it just... Squirrel! That's what we're talking about. That's exactly... I'm not picking on you, buddy, because I love you. You know that. He's already gone again. Never mind. All right. You see how quickly it happens? See how quick... I mean, he was with me. He was tracking with me the whole... I asked the question, he was right there. But see how quickly... I'm still not picking on you. All right, so see how quickly it happens? All of a sudden, our minds start wandering off into other places. Some of you are thinking about the hog roast. Some of you are thinking about the snow when we can finally go sledding. Some of you are thinking about all kinds of different things. Man, I got work to do. I got trucks on the road and the snowy out. And all these different things that are going on in our minds. And pretty soon, it starts crowding out the things that God wants us to think about, wants us to hear, wants us to do. And it starts crowding out our lives. It starts taking more and more time that takes us away from our relationship with Christ and with each other. And the things that he's calling us to do. The weeds of the world are thick right now. And it takes a conscious decision to recognize what they are. It takes time to sit down and say, okay, what are the weeds in my life? What are they? What is stealing my life and my joy from my relationship with Christ? And they could be good things. Some of the weeds... I've got this plan out. I should go get it real quick. I still don't know what it is. I know it's a weed, but it is the most beautiful weed. It is the coolest thing. I've had it for like 3 months in my truck. It's a beautiful weed. It's got this, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a little ball like this, and it's got all these seeds in it. And it's like, I don't know how to describe it. I should just go get it. But it is so cool. I've been carrying it. It's a beautiful weed. And it's just an intriguing weed. I keep trying to figure out, I know most of my weeds, and I have no idea what this one is. And you can shake it. It's like a little rattle. It's only about that big. You can shake it, and you can hear the little seeds rattling around inside there. And it was actually a beautiful flower when it was not a seed. It was absolutely beautiful, and I just think it was awesome. All right, so I'm carrying it around my truck. Deb, you know what it is already, don't you? You don't? Okay, I'm sorry. So it's a neat weed. It's a pretty weed. It, I like it. But it's a weed. You know what that weed is going to produce? More weeds! And lots of them, because there's a lot of seeds rattling around in that little thing. You know, I'm just trying to tell you, look at what's taking your time. Okay? Honestly. Look at what's eating your time, day to day. Look what's eating your resources, your finances. Your energy. Is it a weed? Or is it the priority that God set for us? Is it producing fruit? Listen, honestly, is it producing fruit? Or is it just going to produce more weeds? It's good. It's pretty. It's fun. I like it. But as I think about it honestly, what's it really producing? I can think of all kinds of examples. I can think of a lot of examples. I can think of a lot of weeds that are in my life right now. Right now. That I like them. I like the weeds. They're pretty. They're fun. They're awesome. Almost. Not really. Because as I really look at them, they're just sucking my life away. They're taking my time. They're taking my energy. They're taking my resources, and they're not producing anything of value that's for eternity. You know, I feel like at times I'm all these soils, honestly. I feel like times I'm the path, and God's throwing seed out, and it's just falling on this hard thing that's rigid and unproductive. And Satan is stealing my blessings away. But guess what? I can choose to allow those seeds to get in. I can choose to really listen to what's going on. I can choose to really see the truth of God's word. And I can allow that seed to penetrate if I choose to do so. Any road can be torn up. Right, Randy? Any road can be torn up. I don't care if it's an interstate, a freeway, a tollway. You know what? There's machines to tear it up. Road that I've created could be torn up. And it's made out of the same material as the fertile soil right next door. And that seed can grow. if I'll listen. You know what? I can look at my life and I can see where I'm shallow. If I'm not studying the Word of God, I don't have a very good understanding of Him. And you know what I can do about it? I can open up the Word of God and I can know Him better. If I'm not very empathetic and my feeling relationship with Christ is not very good, guess what? I can start walking a mile in other people's shoes and start feeling the pain that Christ has for His world. And it'll change me. If I'm just sitting back and feeling and listening and learning and not doing a thing about it, I'm wasted. I can change that soil. I can ask God to change my soil, to make me fuller and rounder and more capable to do what He's calling me to do. I can look at the weeds that are growing up alongside me. I can be honest. Can you be honest with yourself? Really? Can you take some time and just examine it, to look at it for real? Because a 9-year-old knows what God's priority for our life is. A 9-year-old. Look at his smile. He's got to figure it out. Give him about 30 seconds, he'll be thinking about something else. He's exactly like you. He's exactly like me, too. We can change the soil that God's trying to plant those seeds of blessing in right now. The truth of His Word. And then we can reap the benefit. This coming year, we've got a great opportunity. Not that it has to happen at the beginning of the year, because it can happen in the middle of the year, at the end of the year. Whenever the Holy Spirit finally gets in and we actually hear Him, not Eldon's words, but the Spirit's words of saying, hey, there's time for a change here. Let's plow up this soil. Let's make it deeper. Let's make it more fertile. Let's get the weeds out. Whenever you hear that voice, is it time to act? I pray that time is right now. It's time to make a change. It's time to find God's priority for my life and to live it and see what He has in store. I'm going to say right now, it's not easy. It's not. If it's easy, we'd all be doing it. It's not. It takes a firm commitment to making Christ the priority of your life. And then do it. I'm done. I love God because He doesn't have, I think Jim said last week, He doesn't have secrets. Is that what you said last week? And then Nathan said there was a secret. I don't know how all that worked, but He doesn't have secrets. He lays it out very plainly. He lays it out so that we can all see it. He's not going to wait up in heaven and say, oh, there's this one little piece that I didn't tell you about. That's not how it works. He says, this is what's going on in your life. This is how Satan is working. Here it is. Look at it. Plain as day. I've written it down in black and white. I've got people to stand up and tell you about it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to let it make you harder? Thinner? Will you let them come in? Will you make a change? Today's the day for it. We're going to sing a song. And I don't know where you're at. What kind of soil you are. I hope you're fertile soil. But if you're like me, I need to make a change. I need to make a change daily. To turn to Him. To seek Him with my whole heart. And know that He is God. To let my actions start reflecting what He's doing in my life. So that people might know there is hope. There's hope. Let's stand as we sing.